As you look around, I don't know if you've realised, but people seem to be getting ready for Christmas even earlier this year than ever, in a desire to gain hope in a pretty dire year. And as we prepare for Christmas, lots of us watch lots of Christmas films, and it really isn't matter what film we watch, but it just gives us that feel-good factor about Christmas, doesn't it? And as this Advent, as Christians, or for those interested in who Jesus is, can I encourage you to use Advent as a time to remind yourself of the true meaning of Christmas, to think about redemption, to think about that God sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. And today we're going to look at redemption as we prepare for Advent. It's not going to be the usual Advent passages, but we're going to look at the story of Ruth in the Old Testament. Lots of you will know it so well. Some of you are probably hearing it for the first time. We're going to jump in right at the end of the book at Ruth to see how this story ends. But just as we go for an overview of the book, in chapter 1, it really tells us about hope. Naomi and Ruth's husbands have died. They've gone off from Bethlehem and they've tried to live life away from God's covenant people and it hasn't worked. So they return to Bethlehem and there seems to be signs of hope. In chapter 2, there are signs of peace as Ruth goes out to glean from the fields and as Boaz happens to come along, there seems to be peace on the horizon. Chapter 3, there seems to be real joy as Ruth and Boaz become acquainted with each other. There's joy for Ruth, there's joy for Naomi, and there's joy for Boaz. And chapter 4, love oozes out of the pages. Peace, hope, joy, love. It'd be a pretty good Christmas decoration, wouldn't it? And today we're going to look at the story of redemption between Ruth and Boaz and see how it points to an even greater story of redemption for you and for me today. So if you have a Bible, open them at Ruth 4 and we're going to see redemption firstly at great cost. As I said, Ruth has been widowed, so has Naomi. And in this culture, they were looking for somebody as a kinsman redeemer in the family line. And Boaz, as we find out, is second in line. So Boaz and the guy who's first in line all gather at the city gates in chapter 4, verses 1 to 4, and we pick it up here in verse 4. I thought I should bring to your mother to the attention and suggest that you buy it in the presence of those seated here, and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you redeem it, do so. But if you will not tell me, so I will know. For no one has a right to do it except you, and I am next in line. I will redeem it, he said. Then Boaz said, on the day you buy land from Naomi, you also acquire Ruth the Moabite, the dead man's widow, in order to maintain the name of the dead with this property. At this, the garden redeemer said, then I cannot redeem it because I might endanger my own estate. You redeem it for yourself. I cannot do it. Initially, this man, this unknown person, Mr. So-and-so, in some translations, is really keen about getting Naomi's land. We don't quite know how she came to have this land. She probably inherited it, but she was possibly selling it to live off in the future. And this man comes and thinks this is a great business opportunity to add this land and to his wealth. And he says, yes, I'm very keen. But then Boaz reminds him that if you acquire the land, you also acquire Ruth with it. Ruth wasn't a terribly good prospect for people. She was a dead man's widow. She was a foreigner. She was a Moabite. And the man went, no thanks. The cost is too high. The danger to me is too high. It's too risky. It's too costly. And as they say in Dragon Den, I'm out. And then Boaz comes in. He's next in line. He realizes the cost. He realizes the risk to him. But he is not only able to redeem Ruth, but he is willing as well. Redemption at great cost requires somebody who is both able and willing to redeem. But this also reminds us of a greater redemption, not just between Ruth and Boaz, but between you and me and God Almighty, who is not only able to redeem us, but he was willing to redeem us. As we come into this Advent season, as we prepare for Christmas to celebrate Emmanuel, God with us, we celebrate the fact that God was able to redeem us and he was willing to send his one and only son into the world to be the savior of the world. Redemption at great cost. And as we look to Christmas, we can't end our look there. We must then look to Easter too, to see that Jesus would come and pay the price of our redemption by shedding his own blood on the cross for us. For his body to be broken, for his blood to be shed. That was the great cost of redemption. So you and I are quite like Ruth in this story. We don't have much to offer somebody. It's not as though God needs us, but God loves us. God desires to redeem us, to buy us back at a great cost, the cost of a son. So this Advent season, maybe we need to take some time out and just remember the great cost of our redemption in Christ. Redeemed at a great cost, but secondly, we also see that we are redeemed in great love. Let's pick it up in verse 9. Then Boaz announced to the elders and all the people, "Today you are my witnesses. I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon. I have also acquired Ruth the Moabite, Mahlon's widow, as my wife, in order to maintain the name of the deed of the dead with this property, so that his name will not disappear from among his family or from among his hometown. Today you are my witnesses." And on the verse 13, so Boaz took Ruth and she became his wife. Here we see redemption in great love. If we go back into chapters 3, 2, and 1 or a few through, we'll see the fact that Boaz has a great love towards Ruth. He sees her as a widow gleaning in his fields, picking up some of the scraps, and he gives favor towards her. He says, "No, take some of the better barley." And chapter 3, you see their relationship develop and grow. And Boaz's love and affection and care towards Ruth just jumps out of the pages. Here's a great love of Boaz towards Ruth. And if we think of the redemption of God towards us, the prophet Isaiah said, "This is what the Lord says, the one who created you, Jacob, the one who framed you, Israel, do not be afraid because I've redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." God loved the people of Israel in the Old Testament. You are my people. You are mine. I've called you by name. And God comes to us today and he calls us by name. God sent Jesus to be the Savior of the world to redeem us because he loved us. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." 1 John 3:1 says, "The Father has lavished his love upon us that we should become children of God," and that is what we are. God's love is poured out for us. Somebody wrote an Advent devotional called "Love Came Down at Christmas." And it's not where we celebrate this Advent season. And as we look to Easter as well, through the lens of Christmas, we'll see the love that came to earth, that went to the cross, that hung there for you and for me. Jesus loves us, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones, to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Maybe we need to take a few moments today and in the season of Advent to remind ourselves of the great love of God, Father, Son, and Spirit towards us.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me.
At great cost, redeemed in great love, but thirdly and finally, redeemed for great fame, as we see in verses 13 and 14. So Boaz took Ruth and she became his wife. When he made love to her, the Lord enabled her to conceive and she gave birth to a son. The woman said to Naomi, "Praise be to the Lord who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. Will he renew your life and sustain you in old age? For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth." The story of Boaz and Ruth would have made ripples right throughout the covenant people in Israel, possibly in the surrounding nations as well, possibly to where Naomi was from in Moab. People would be hearing about Boaz, this good man, redeeming a foreigner, a widow, a huge risk to his wealth and to his name. If they had Instagram in that day, it'd be all over Instagram. If they had the films, I'm sure this would have been turned into a Hollywood film. This is a wonderful story of redemption that people would have told over and over. As generations came and went, they would have recounted this great story of Ruth and Boaz for great fame. The women also come to Naomi, Ruth's mother-in-law, and say, "Praise be to God." You see, we must remind ourselves in this story that Boaz is not the hero. God is a hero. In every Old Testament passage, in every New Testament passage, mere men are not the heroes. God is a hero. And we go back through the story of Ruth, you will see God orchestrating things behind the scenes to make this happen. God is the one who brings Ruth and Boaz together. Boaz loves Ruth because of the love that God has shown to Boaz. This is amazing love. This is amazing that God would bring these two people together and for their fame to go out throughout the nations. And we know about it today. But as we think of Advent for ourselves, just as Ruth and Boaz bore a son, does that remind you of another passage in Scripture that a son would be born and he would be called Jesus because he would save people from their sins? And the amazing thing in this story of Ruth and Boaz is that Ruth and Boaz come into the family line of the King of Israel, David, who's in the family line of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, what God was doing in Ruth and Boaz's life was greater than just their lives. It had an impact generations later. It had an impact lots of generations later in Christ, and has an impact around the world today. A son would be born. And it wouldn't be just the fame of Ruth and Boaz, but it'll be the fame of the Lord Jesus Christ that we will be declaring today. A great Redeemer who redeems us at a great cost, who redeems us in great love, and who redeems us for the fame of his name among the nations. I wonder today and this Advent, will you consider what role you have to play in making the name of Jesus famous among the nations? In your family, will you talk of Christ? In your neighborhood, will you share Christ? In your group of friends, will you bring up the subject of Jesus? In your online world, will you talk about Jesus? We all have a role to play in this. We're all given the Great Commission that we've been learning about in recent weeks here. God is a global God, and we, as John Stott says, must be global Christians with a global vision. But that starts locally. What an opportunity we have this Advent season to declare hope, to declare peace, to declare love, to declare joy, all the things that the world is looking for. That's why they're celebrating Christmas so early. But if they don't celebrate Christ this Christmas, they're going to be left empty. The presents aren't going to satisfy them. The three households together for 5 days aren't going to satisfy them. People need to know Christ. And how can they know him if they have not heard of him? What an opportunity we have this year to make Jesus famous in our town, in our country, and in our world. What an opportunity. I wonder, will you embrace it this Advent? Will you firstly immerse yourself in the redemption that you have found at great cost and great love for great fame? And will you consider passing on this great gift to others? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your great love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Father, thank you that you sent Jesus to earth. Thank you that he grew up. And thank you that he is willing to go to the cross. As we contemplate that during this final song, Father, would you stir up something within us that has grown cold in recent days, weeks, months, and even years? And revive us again, O Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.